Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome into another edition of Slow Your Roll. I am Dominic Lorenzano, alongside writer for the Yucky Way Report, Jesse Caulfield, as always.
Yo.
And we got a good amount to cover today, since pretty much all we did was NFL draft stuff. A little bit of everything. Basketball. Baseball. I don't know.
Baseball.
Baseball. Basketball. Football. Some football. A little more draft talk as well.
Some hockey ball.
Yeah. So, without any further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Yucky Way Report writer Jesse Caulfield to get us started. Jesse, take it away.
Yes, thank you. All right, this works. Yes, this works. So, the Fenway Sports Group brand is coming. I swear, it's going to come. Mm-hmm. But, like, if I'm delaying it, might as well make sure it's going to be perfect. And something happened this past week that, like, I don't know. I think it's kind of deserving of a rant. Mm-hmm. It's almost not, because it's, like, so stupid that it even needs to be said. It needs to be pointed out to people. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, if it's pointed out to people, they, you know, the internet. Mm-hmm. They couldn't care less when it's pointed out to them. But this past week, long time. Actually, this is where. All right, this past week, long time Boston Bruins, or just announcer for the play-by-play Boston Bruins, Jack Edwards. He's going to retire at the end of this year, which means he's only got at most six games left if the Leafs can somehow take this to seven. Mm-hmm. So we're having our last few days of Jack Edwards calling Bruins games. And just, you know, the quick words of, like, what a great guy, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You know, very knowledgeable in the game, hugely passionate about his job. And out of play-by-play, what really more can you ask for? Mm-hmm. And, you know, someone who grew up watching, you know, Red Sox and Bruins, I feel like we've been blessed a little bit. I know you weren't the hugest Don and Jerry fan, but, like, come on, they provided hours of entertainment. And Jack and Brick have done the same. Mm-hmm. Little different, you know, a little stranger almost, because of how bizarre Jack Edwards can be with some of his catchphrases and all that stuff. I will never forget the moment. I mean, his biggest controversy in all those years since 2005 that he's been is literally, as much crap he's got, his only controversy was, like, 2 years ago. He called Pat Maroon almost fat. Like, it's not actually that bad. He said he was, like, I think it was a cheeseburger away from being fat.
That's hilarious.
That's funny.
And that's absolutely hysterical.
Now on the Bruins, Pat Maroon, take one look at the guy, you'd be like, wow, guy's almost fat.
Yeah.
He's a very big guy. But, like, you know, it's a lot of muscle. But anyway, that's has been his biggest controversy all his years, other than, you know, against the internet being like, well, what a weird dude. So what? He's passionate about his job. He's very knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. No one can deny that. He's very knowledgeable. He knows all the things. He's like Tim Kurchkin, where, like, he'll just throw a random fact, like, this stuff. First time in 20 years that a Swedish-born player has got 2 points against this team and on an October night where it's this many degrees out. Just those weird facts that, like, why do you know that? Why do I care? But now I know. Thanks, Jack. Mm-hmm. Thanks. I love that. But what is this actually about? You know, now that I've done, like, oh, what a great guy, what a great commentator. The real controversy, I guess you could say, this dumb controversy that he's faced for years, is his, you know, he's biased. He's a biased commentator. We can't have that. You know, he grew up a Bruins fan. He was the Providence Bruins announcer before he got the call up to Boston Bruins. Mm-hmm. And he's biased towards them. Unforgivable sin. Who's he work for?
Yeah, wait. Why is this a controversy?
He works for Nesson.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's that stand for?
New England Sports Network.
Oh, New England Sports Network. Where do the Bruins play?
New England.
New England. Oh, he works specifically for. Do we think Don and Jerry were kind of biased?
Of course they were.
Because they work for the Red Sox, basically.
Yeah. Heck, Don. Also,
Don got fired basically by the Red Sox, not necessarily.
I know.
And Jack works for the Bruins. We can basically outright say that. He basically works for the Bruins because we know John Henry and the Jacobs family, they have say in the Nesson productions for their teams. So they technically do work directly for the teams. Mm-hmm. And we know that actually some other commentators across leagues, you know, the commentator for the Orioles, personal Orioles commentator, got in trouble last year for not being enough of a homer. No one gives him crap. But it's, you know, it's not, it's because of hockey fans.
Okay.
And how much they hate anything and anything, anything and everything that isn't directly
related to their team.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's what it really is. They hate that a guy is that animated, that passionate, that knowledgeable, and not commentating their team, not hyping up their team. And when he does commentate their team, well, he's facing the team that he's commentating for, actually, he might talk some crap. Oh, no. Don't have that. You know, he was really kind of famous for calling out the divers and the floppers on the Montreal Canadiens in a very passionate way. Get up! Screaming that during the 2011 playoffs. And it's like, that's, one, that's the passion I want out of a commentator. Biased or not, I want that kind of scream, especially hockey. I used to love Doc Emrick. I'm so sad he retired because he would just scream, just yelling all the time. That's a hockey commentator right there. That's a passionate guy right there. Call out the floppers and be biased. You work for the team. Who cares? I loved watching him for a long time. I love my biased commentators because they're for my team. They're going to tell me all about my team and how great they are, and I love that. Idiots.
This wouldn't be a subject in any other sport.
It's not.
You know that, right?
Don,
I'm not doubting you that it's a subject, because like, hockey fans can be weird. I have seen it. But like, you do realize this would not be a conversation in any other sport. Everyone who works for whatever team that they work for in baseball is biased to the baseball team they work for.
Yo, so many other fans.
They will be far louder when something good happens for their team than when something bad happens.
Fans, here's the thing. Baseball fans are very knowledgeable about like who actually commentates who. It's really funny. Because so many people are like, I love the San Francisco Giants commentators. They are very good, actually.
Well, he's a legend. He did Sunday Night Baseball.
Yes.
He was.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's like the Tigers ones are pretty famous. I think they're really good.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously the Orioles one. Everyone knows who the Orioles commentator. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But everyone knows who he is now. Yeah. And everyone's like, wow, he's so great and all that stuff. Like, a lot of these guys are known. And a lot of them are baseball fans. I love their comment. I love this team's commentator. No one disliked Don Orsillo.
No.
That's. Don't I've never seen a soul be like, wow, screw that
guy. I didn't
dislike
Orsillo. Remy got on my nerves in the later years.
Yes, I know. That's what I didn't want to directly say, like, oh, you weren't the biggest fan of that. But, like, I know, like, you weren't the biggest fan of some of Remy's antics stuff.
His antics were better earlier on, but he also just.
Well, I felt.
Looks like he started to lose it a little bit. And, you know, I know there was a medical reasons for that, you know.
I also did just feel, and I don't want to crap on Dave O'Brien. I thought he was fantastic on radio. And I think he's fine on Nesson. But, like, he's not Don. And, like, again, that's not, that's one of those things. Like, that's not his fault at all.
Yeah.
And I just think Jerry had perfect chemistry with Don Orsillo.
I think Dave is doing a good job because the color guy has been rotating a little bit.
So, oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
I mean, it's not as easy. I think you don't have one solid
build chemistry with
I think if it could have been O'Brien and Eck, just those two for longer, it would have been.
But Eck wants
fantastic.
To be a family man.
Yeah, but Eck,
I like Eck
was over it. I don't mind Uke. I didn't like Uke when he first started, but he got better. But no one's Eck.
Well, and no one can be Don and Jerry with that.
No, that's true. Eck's hilarious, though.
Oh, I love
Eck.
Eck
was so brutal.
He was like a
brutally
little like
honest.
Jack is like, I'm just going to say it. Like, you messed up. Like, what the hell was that? I'm going to point that out.
I know.
I love that.
What happened? I saw someone get someone got picked off with two outs in the middle of the order coming up. It was an opponent.
Colton Wong.
No. That was in the World Series. This is a regular season game.
I know.
But Eck just into the mic just goes, wow, that was really stupid. And I was like, yep, it really was. There's nothing else to say about this.
Hell yeah, Eck.
Just not like, oh, great pickoff move. Just that was really stupid.
Yeah.
That is great. All right.
But hey, good luck in retirement, Jack.
Yeah, right?
Have a good one.
Quickly, rapid-fire news. This is going to be very quick. Devontae Smith signed a $75 million contract extension to add to the star-studded – well, not add to, but keep the star-studded Eagles together. Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, they added Saquon Barkley. So – you know, they're doing everything they can to build up that offense. That doesn't mean the quarterback and the coach are going to know what to do with it. But, you know, that's a different topic for a different day. But it will bring up with more talk that we do on this draft and wide receivers. So, Golden State, the dynasty, officially. Now, it was kind of over, but it officially ended last week when Sacramento beat them 118-94. I don't really know where they go from here. I can't believe they didn't move off Klay Thompson earlier because it looked like he was never the same after the Raptors series. But be that as it may, they're stuck with some things that they're going to have to figure out. Day one of the NBA playoffs, I just like pointing this out, the favorite not only won every single game, but also covered the spread. Further pointing out, like I said, that the first round of the NBA playoffs is one of the most irrelevant events in all of sports, and easily the most irrelevant round of playoffs in any sport.
Like how we had that play-in tournament, though.
Those are also stupid.
We could have been like halfway done with this first round.
I know. So, the Timberwolves beat the Suns, the Knicks over the Sixers, Denver took down the Lakers 114-103, Boston beat up Miami in a way, 114-94. The Heat fans were going, we want Boston. I mean,
beat the Heat.
That hasn't been turning out well in sports the last five years.
It has not worked a single time since this trend has started.
The Bucks won their game over the Pacers, and the Clippers beat the Mavs. So, I mean, that's all I got. Oh, and Jontay Porter was given the lifetime ban for gambling on the NBA, not just gambling in general. Gambling on the NBA, we might have more on that topic later in the show. But with that, let's move on to a little more draft talk here. And I want to bring both these teams up and talk about them in the same breath because I feel that both of them are in a very similar scenario. So that is the Giants and the Patriots. They're both sitting in the top 10 picks, Pat's sitting at 3, the Giants sitting at 6, and both of them probably have what I would consider the two worst rosters in the league. I don't think anyone has a worse roster than the Giants, and I don't think anyone has a worse roster after that than the Patriots, particularly the Patriots on offense. Which brings up the question of, what do you do with their pick? Now, I personally, I like Drake May. He's big, strong-armed, athletic. He's the prototype of a high-end NFL quarterback, but there's no doubt he's going to need some work. And when I look at the Patriots, the offensive that they're going to have around him, and more importantly, the staff, I think it's about a D-minus staff. Gerard Mayo has never been a head coach before. He's also defensive. The OC was fired in Cleveland, Van Pelt. He's a bounce-around-the-league guy, and there's nothing to work with. May's going to need work. Yeah, there's a real argument you can make that the Pats should trade down and get more picks. The one thing I think for sure, and I hear every freaking Pats fan tell me this, and this is what you should not do under any circumstances, is take Marvin Harrison with this pick. Because who the hell cares if you don't have a quarterback or anything else to go around him? Wide receivers can be irrelevant. Even in this day and age, they can still become irrelevant when you have nothing else around him. Jacoby Brissett's going to throw him the football. I think it's dumb. Get more picks. There's about 5 or 6 wide receivers that could all go in the first round. You could trade down, maybe get 2 first-round picks or an early second-round pick and take a wide receiver there. But be that as it may, if they do take May, I'm not going to hate it. The second thing, the Giants. This is the one that I will be the most strident on. Under no circumstances do I think the Giants should take a quarterback with their pick. And I would really think, if I was running that team, that I would trade out of the top 10 because you need so many things. The defense isn't that good any either. And you look at their offense. Can you even name their wide receivers at this point, Jesse? What is it? Wandale Robinson? Is Sterling Shepard still there? He's ancient.
No, he went. I know he went somewhere. I don't remember where.
Saquon Barkley is gone. That was the only legitimate offensive piece they have. The O-line hasn't been good in years, and you're overpaying Daniel Jones anyway, and you're stuck with that contract for a while. So there is no reason for them to draft a quarterback, particularly because if they draft it at 6, it's probably J.J. McCarthy, and Daniel Jones is going to be so bad, and people are so sick of him, that they're going to be calling for J.J. to play by game 5, and he really shouldn't behind that roster, that O-line. And he's just not ready for NFL football. So under no circumstances should the Giants use that 6th overall pick to take a quarterback. And they absolutely should be looking to trade down to get more picks. Because they need a player at almost every single position on this roster, except maybe the D-line. The D-line is average. Everywhere else, they need help. So you could make the argument with the Pats. I think it's pretty obvious with the Giants. Don't take a quarterback and also look to trade down. So, Jesse, thoughts?
I don't know where Sterling Shepard went, but he didn't resign.
Okay.
I mean, I'll start with the Patriots. No, I'll start with the Giants.
Okay.
We're
in agreement on this one, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, because it's like, we said this one like when I did our mock draft. I was like, I was begging for one of them. Like, one of them to, like, have just the idea that maybe they'll even just consider going O-line here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, please, just don't do quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you will ruin him,
mm-hmm.
whoever it is. Doesn't matter. It could be Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to ruin it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else. Take a kicker. Because he could work. It could work. And it wouldn't be a waste.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of my Giants thing. Mm-hmm. If you trade it, okay. As long as it's not a quarterback. Heck, if you took a quarterback later in the first round, but you traded that, you know, you're obviously your fourth?
Sixth.
Oh, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona's fourth. Mm-hmm. If you traded that pick and got a couple others, at least one more of the first, moved on in the first round, and then there was like a QB, it was like later Penix, but you also got more picks to fill some things around him, possibly the O-line, I'd be like, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, it'd have to be before 20 because Bo Nix is going at 20 for the steal. Anyway, that's kind of my Giants thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
For the Patriots, I'm sick of hearing Elliot Wolf speak.
Mm.
Because, again, it was like, well, we're going to we're looking to trade the pick. It's like, what do you mean? Like, you should at least look to, like, make a pick. It's like, no, we're looking to make a pick. We're going to make a pick. We're taking a QB. It's going to happen. What do you mean? You should at least, like, explore your options. We're exploring all options. All options are being explored. I swear to God. And then, like, the other day, we're exploring trading, but, like, we might take the pick. It's like, just take the pick, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Pick someone. Pick a QB. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I don't think it's going to... If you trade it for a bunch of picks, I could see, you know, if you had, like, some scheme here to maybe fix your team in time. Mm. But, like, I don't trust any of these people. I don't trust the Crafts. I don't trust Mayo and his team to train these kids up or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't trust Elliot Wolf to draft correctly, especially with the Crafts looking over his shoulder, breathing down his neck. You want to take that guy? We need a real QB, man.
Yeah, see, that's the other thing with the Patriots, too. It's like, this guy's never... First off, they wouldn't even name him as GM, which makes you think Kraft's making the picks.
Sounds like Bill's still there.
Yeah. And also, Elliot Wolf has just never been in this position. He's constantly fumbling over himself and then has to go back on what he said before.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't it just seem to you that that clock is going to start running at 15 or whatever it is that they get before the pick? And they're just going to panic. Somebody's going to panic.
Well, I think they're all just going to look at somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are going to look at Mayo. Mayo's going to look at Wolf. Wolf's going to be like, what do we do, Jonathan?
Yeah.
And Jonathan's going to look at Bob and be like, Bob, what do we do? And Robert's going to take all those 15 minutes to get his first sentence out. And then nothing's going to happen.
I just don't know. I don't know what they're going to end up doing. But you can't.
Whatever it is, it's wrong.
But what you can make the argument. Now, I said weeks ago, you know, if you're not taking a quarterback just because it's high risk, you're stupid. That's dumb. That's no way to run a franchise. You need the quarterback. But if you're sitting here going, we only really liked Caleb and Jaden. We like Drake, but we don't love him. And then also you throw in the fact that he's going to have to be coached up. And who is going to do that here? You can make the argument now that I could get being like, trade down, get more picks. Listen. Even if you drafted May and you were surprised by how well he was, the roster is still so bad and the division is pretty good that you should think that this team, no matter what, probably has a top five pick next year too. I would think that. So you might as well get more picks, make the roster around it better, and then take a quarterback next year. Because there's going to be other first-round quarterbacks next year. It's not like it's a quarterback-less draft next year. There's some. Shedeur Sanders is one. I know there's a couple others. Well, the Penn State kid, I don't know if he's coming out yet, but I think he might be.
Coach Prime said there's like he listed teams that he would allow his kids to play for.
Listen,
the Patriots were not on.
Dion can say whatever he wants. It doesn't matter. He's not going to not play football.
Yes, generally. But like, you know, when you're Deion Sanders and that's his kid, like that's something.
It's something. It's not everything,
I guess.
It's that, listen, Elway was able to do it because, one, he was easily the first overall pick. But also, Elway was just like, listen, I'll go play professional baseball. Shador doesn't have that. Wait, you're not going to play football, brother? I mean, what are you going to do instead? You're going to go be an assistant coach at Colorado with your dad? Like, you know what I mean?
I mean,
you go play in the CFL?
What year is he?
Shador?
Yeah.
I think he's a junior.
Like, next year will be his senior year then?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I'm pretty sure next year is his senior year.
I mean, just people that play, like, 5 years, right?
Yeah.
It could be, if, you know, Dion could be like, oh, I see these top couple picks. Like, you're going back. You're coming back. You could do something like that. Yeah, I understand. After a certain point, like, after he's his own person in the league, I'm sure he'll still listen to his dad. Like, oh, you've been in this league. Like, give me advice. Like, what team should I deal with? The teams maybe I shouldn't. But, like, sure, eventually he will be his own person and will make his own decisions. At least I hope.
Yeah.
But, like, especially drafting him, I think Deion Sanders will have a lot of say, as much as he, at least I think he can, in where his child will at least be drafted.
Okay. But anyway, back to this year's thing. I mean, what do you, we have in our draft, we have them taking Drake May, I believe.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I think they don't want to deal with the hate that they'll get from fans. I think it would be a PR disaster for the Crafts, who are trying to turn the page, say that we're going to be different than Bill, blame everything on Bill, and then trade that pick to get more picks and not take a quarterback when you need a quarterback.
That'd be very Bill.
That would be extremely Bill Belichick, wouldn't it? And I think
the
vitriol that they would get from the fan base is something they don't want to deal with.
If you got an actual haul, I'd be like, all right. Like if you got, you know, somewhat similar. I mean, you don't need a DJ Moore or something like that. But like a lot of pieces that makes me think that, oh, you kind of overpaid for that.
What if,
like,
the Vikings gave you both their first round picks, then they gave you a second round pick?
I'd almost rather one first round pick this year and then their first round pick maybe next year. Because then you have two first round next year.
Okay, and then you could try and trade up again if you needed to.
Yeah,
if you're taking a quarterback.
Although, you know, it kind of, I guess, depends on how the Vikings will be next year.
Well, they'll probably be pretty good. So they're probably not going
to
have
a great
pick.
I know you think they could win the division.
I definitely think they could
win the division. I want to see what the QB situation is before I really...
Exactly. But I get it from a standpoint of at least you would have two first-round picks.
Although, if you trade with the Vikings, it's obvious what they're going to take then with that pick.
Yeah, they're taking May.
Oh, it's just a QB at least.
Yes.
I would assume May, but, like, you know, J.J. McCarthy, first overall pick material.
I don't buy it. But anyway.
What if they took Joe Alt with that third pick?
Absolutely not. There's zero chance that they would move up to take Joe Alt.
No, I mean the Patriots.
They have their left tackle. Oh, the Pats. They could. I think it would still be a little bit overdrafting. He's good. Yeah. I don't think he's...
I'd kind of rather just trade down and get
somewhere. See, when it comes to the other two positions that people talk about the Patriots need, which is wide receiver and tackle, my issue is they now have a high enough pick, but this draft is deep enough that you don't need to put it there.
No, that's why
there's a bunch of tackles in this draft, too.
That's why I'd rather trade down.
Yes, that's what I mean.
If I want the tackle somewhere.
But if you were to do it the way that you said, and you get the Vikings' first-round pick next year, I would need their second-round pick at least then this year.
Sure.
I would give – you give me one of your first-round picks. You give me your second-round pick this year as well, and then give me next year's first-round pick. Because you need at least – I need two picks in this draft, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess for the third round. I mean, maybe, like, one more pick somewhere. Maybe a third next year also.
Probably not. It'd probably have to be a later than that. It'd probably be a fifth or a...
Third day pick,
it'd be
or whatever.
It would definitely have to be a third day pick, I think. But it is what it is. But, yeah, I think you can make a very good argument that that is probably what New England should end up doing. Trading down to get more picks.
I don't think Patriots fans would be all that beside themselves about it.
Okay, maybe not.
I think they're pretty split. I think half of them are like, you need the QB, you need the QB. And half of them are like, you need to trade it away, you need to trade it away.
The amount of people I hear who are like, I think we should draft Marvin Harrison with that third overall pick. And I'm like, why? Why?
Who's going to throw it to him?
Exactly. That's my point.
And it's like, I think we need a wide receiver somewhere.
No, we do.
I probably need more than somewhere. We need probably like two or three.
And listen, if they traded down and ended up with two first round picks this year in this draft, I would say use one of them on a wide receiver. But you don't need to use the third overall pick with it. Mm.
Just, you know, I no matter what they do, I'm going to be upset probably, actually. Because I'm be like, you did it wrong. Like, it's they can't satisfy me. I mean, they could, like, you know, they traded for Hall. I'm like, all right, I guess. But at the same time, I'll just in the back of my head be like, did the Crafts tell you to do that? Then we're kind of going to mess this up. They're like, I don't trust Wolf. He's not actually like.
Well, listen, we're in the same boat on that.
I have no faith.
Well, I think they can make the right decision. But just because you made the right decision doesn't mean you're end up in the end going to make it work.
Yeah, well, yes.
You know?
Yes. And even if they made the right decision and they're making it work along the way, until I see the end product and it's working, I'm going to be like, nope. I don't trust you. You're going to screw it up. I'm waiting for it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, one day I'll just be like, Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
But like, come on, it's never happened.
No, it's not. All right, moving on to with the Marvin Harrison stuff, let's talk wide receiver. A lot of wide receivers in this draft. Could be five or six in the first round. I'm going to tie it into Devontae Smith's extension. I get why the Eagles did it. It's a good amount of money.
But
you know, we see wide receiver. It's not crazy.
And it's not,
we're seeing wide receivers getting paid all over the place. But unlike quarterback,
and it's only three
where years. At least it's like at the end of the day, if you have a bad quarterback, your team's going to suck. Wide receiver is more important than it ever was before, so they should get paid a good amount. But the NFL keeps furnishing the league with five to six new guys seems like almost every year now. When are we going to get to a point with this position as well where teams are going to start being like, wait a minute, hold on a second. Do we really need to do this stuff? Christian Kirk's getting paid a ton. Jefferson's getting paid a ton. At least Jefferson's like a top two or three guy, though.
Yeah.
But, you know, T. Higgins on the franchise tag, but they haven't offered him a contract yet. You know, I don't know. Give me your quick thoughts on this. What if in this draft – wait. Let me put it to you this way. This draft, right? We got Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison, Rome Odunze, Brian Thomas, Adoree Mitchell, Xavier Worthy. All six could go in the first round. What if I told you Malik and Harrison are stars, Odunze is productive, and then Brian Thomas ends up being a high-end wide receiver as well? That's four new, really good to great wide receivers already in the league again. Like, when is – I don't know.
Well, you know, there's always – the correction will come.
Yeah, that's what
and
I
it's
mean.
Like you always pointed at me and be like, bro, you – my valuing of QB was skewed because, like, oh, you grew up watching Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Drew Brees and Phillip Rivers. So, like, when I was I was looking at quarterbacks, and that guy sucks. You're like, no, he doesn't suck. You just, like, you watch Tom Brady and that stuff. And I'm like, there is a point to be made with that. But at the same time, I still think QB play has kind of – the average QB play in the NFL is still, like, I think more mediocre than ever, at least from what I've viewed. Uh-huh. Do I think the highs are kind of higher than ever? The Patrick Mahomes, the Herberts, the Burrows. Uh-huh. Josh Allen's. Yeah, kind of, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think wide receivers kind of go in that same way, where I'm going to start watching. I mean, I know I watched Moss in the end of Jerry Rice, but, like, I'm going to start watching A.J. Brown and Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. And they are kind of a little bit separating themselves from the rest of the pack, and then they'll be, like, the above average but still, like, you know, not quite what we can say elite anymore because elite's higher than it's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be like the Ayuks and the Debos and
Amon Ra.
Sure, that'd be a good one. So it'll be like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you know, all these kids watching football be like, oh, I want to be a wide receiver.
Well, that's already happened.
And then, you know, it'll correct a little bit. And then we'll still have this high of like, wow, wide receivers may be more elite than ever, but like, wow, the average receiver has gone back to being mediocre, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like that. I could see it going like that. It's going to take some time because I think we're really just starting to ramp up the, or everyone wants to be a wide receiver, and it's going to be that era of we're going to swatch the Tom Brady, Peyton Manning's, Drew Brees, but the wide receiver position. Mm-hmm. Especially with the fact that, I think quarterbacks are more mediocre than ever in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. And some of them are being dragged along, it feels, mm-hmm. by their wide receivers a little bit, mm-hmm. by how elite they're getting. Because, mm-hmm. like, I'm seeing catches that are just like...
No,
like,
I know.
Like, how do you catch that? Stephon Diggs. Like that game between the Vikings and the Bills last year. Mm-hmm. Stephon Diggs makes this incredible catch. Wow, that's an elite catch. Next drive, Justin Jefferson's like, well, I'm going to top that in every way possible.
Yes.
And, like... That in like I don't even consider Stephon Diggs one of the elite receivers.
No,
he's very good.
No, he's
almost. He could be saying that he's knocking on the door of it, of your average elite wide receiver in the NFL, if I can use that phrase.
Yeah.
And he is making catches like that. That's he's still number one though.
But I just when you keep furnishing the league with all these new ones, it's like at what point are teams going to sit here and be like, why are we going to pay an astronomical amount?
It's the housing
to a lot of these guys. Yes.
Eventually, it's going to crash, mm-hmm. and there will still be these expensive houses that are worth every penny of it. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, like everything will just drop.
Now, I think when we come to this, there's particular positions that are getting paid a lot, but the other ones I don't think are going to correct. I don't know if the quarterback one's going to correct. We keep saying it is. I don't know if it is because as the league again just keeps getting more and more offensive, and the rules go against it. Like if you don't have a quarterback, you have nothing. Now. Some of it will correct. Do I think someone like Daniel Jones is going to get paid like that again? Probably not. But, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I think Tua is going to get a massive contract by Miami. And I think this is going to continue because simply there's just not enough. It's the supply and demand, you know? But with the wide receiver, the difference is there's plenty of supply even though there's good demand. They keep furnishing us with 4 to 5 to 6 new ones every year. The other two that are not going to change, but they're worth every penny and you have to get over it, is going to be tackle and a shutdown corner. Because the demand is high and the supply is low, and that one's not changing.
Well,
because line play is just getting worse and worse.
Yes. I mean, we think there's a couple factors to do with that. Part mm-hmm. of how which they do training camp now, mm-hmm. these extra pads and bull crap. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, when the market corrects in sports, it doesn't drop. Salaries don't drop. That's not really how the market ever corrects in sports. It's just the league and teams reach an upper echelon of money that it becomes, well, we can just throw that money at anybody.
That too, although the running back one definitely corrected.
A little bit. Well, that's because like the game change in that position is just like, who cares is back there?
Yes, I guess.
If the line is good and he's fast enough, and his knees aren't blown out, who cares who it is? Mm-hmm. But like, the quarterback is never, you know, we can throw the ball now, mm-hmm. and the science behind throwing is advanced more than ever, and this is the game of football. Like, I don't think it'll ever go back, especially with how much we know about head trauma and head injuries. It's never going to go back to being a running dominated game.
No.
So that will probably never really be corrected again. In the sense that, at least how much quarterbacks are making, mm-hmm. because it's there, the game totally goes through them. Mm-hmm. So the only way it'll get corrected is, well, the NFL needs to reach a new level of money, mm-hmm. which seems unheard of for the NFL, but they always get there, right? These leagues always...
Well, they're still getting there. How much more money did they make last year now with the new TV money and all that?
And eventually they'll start talking about expansion again and this thing. You know, we need more teams and we'll even maybe change how many players are on the team. We'll expand the rosters even. And it just gets bigger and bigger and everyone gets paid more and more. The mm-hmm. only way these things truly will correct is if the leagues, like, crash. Mm-hmm. They become worthless.
Mm-hmm. Well, not as bad as worthless, but I would say major league contracts corrected a lot because of COVID.
That's a little different though.
Okay, but it was don't think that was a market correction.
And that should be like short term though. In theory, in a couple years, they'll be right back to.
I don't think there is because of the way that they're able to do the revolving door of pitchers now. I think you're bringing guys up younger and younger, rosters a little bit. Are younger and younger than ever before.
A little bit. But so they were trying to do the stuff with these younger rosters of like manipulating service time. So mm-hmm. we can like, you know, draw out arbitration as long as we can. That is starting to change itself. These kids are getting now they're getting really smart with it. Like the Julio Rodriguez contract is very smart. Very incentive driven. Mm-hmm. It's a long contract with a, you know, $200 million payout if he just plays through it, with the potential to like almost double it. Mm-hmm. We've seen a lot more of those mm-hmm. where they become these long contracts that these players want and like, all right, it's a decent payout mm-hmm. with the chance to blow it up depending on how they play. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like, I guess, their little course correction that they're trying.
Mm. Yeah. No, I get you. But I think the Major League one definitely did. You had a bunch of Boris clients that didn't sign until later in the year. Jordan Montgomery fired Boris, actually, because he couldn't get...
Yeah. Well, that's
Boris would not budge.
All right, that could be
but the league was like, the league was just like, no, dude, just no.
That could be a course correction.
Yes.
Get rid of the toxic agents and make the negotiating process a little smoother.
Now, I want to dive directly now into the wide receivers coming out of this. And I've said this before, and I will say it again. The media perception of the wide receiver class is different than the NFL's. Marvin Harrison is not head and shoulders above everybody else. And I think pretty clearly the guy with the highest ceiling of any of these wide receivers in this draft is Malik Nabers. Malik Nabers is faster than Marvin Harrison. Malik Nabers played in a better conference than Marvin Harrison. Malik Nabers was always open, it seemed, despite the SEC stuff. I've seen Marvin Harrison marginalized in games. Malik Nabers was never marginalized in any game. His NFL combine was eye-opening. They already knew he was great, but it was really good. And the small idiosyncrasies of the position also, which sometimes high-end elite athletes sometimes are not as good in. That's why sometimes you get wide receivers and you think there's no way this guy can bust, and he's a bust because there's the little stuff he doesn't do right. Maybe the route running is sloppy. But I'm going to give you one specific one that Malik Nabers does better than almost any other wide receiver I've ever seen coming into the draft. He puts his hands up late. Why does that matter? Because when you get to this level, when everyone is this good, the minute you start putting your hands up, good DBs can recognize that instinctively, know where the ball is coming, and be able to make a play on that. It is such a small thing that nobody notices, but it's very, very important. Because as we've talked about when we talk about quarterbacks too, those windows, they get a lot smaller in the NFL. You know, the separation you get in college is not the same amount of separation that you get in the NFL. So it's a small idiosyncrasy of the position, and Malik Nabers does it so good. Mm-hmm. Now, the only question with Malik is there really a strength element to this game? You know, is he that strong? But that's not as big as a deal as it used to be, because you can't mug wide receivers at the line of scrimmage like you could 5 to 10 years ago. So Marvin Harrison is very good. Marvin Harrison is smooth. He runs a very crisp route. He's got decent wide receiver speed, but not as amazing. And again, I've seen Marvin Harrison. Now, most of his career, he's played at Ohio State, which is an NFL factory sitting in the Big Ten where they're way better than everybody else, except Michigan at the last couple of years with Jim. He always had like Ibuka on the other side, easily the best offensive line, easily the best quarterback. So there also is that element of like, you're just dominating a league that a conference you were way better than and all your teammates are better in, which is
who was his quarterback this last year though?
No, I had Kyle McCord, who wasn't as good. That is true.
Nabers had Daniels this year.
He did.
I know this 1 year, but
no, he had Jaden last year too.
Well, I mean like 1 year of Marvin Harrison not having a QB and,
And
having Jaden Daniels.
No, and
I know he had Stroud before.
I'm not trying to diss Marvin. I think he's gonna be a great NFL wide receiver. But I'm just telling you, the gap here is not what people think. And I do think that Malik has a higher ceiling than Marvin. Because I think Malik Nabers, I don't think, actually, it's kind of obvious, is a more freak athlete than even MHJ is.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to argue who is more talented. I don't watch college football. Mm-hmm. I have a life. There's only so many sports we as people can watch. We have to pick and choose.
Yeah, I don't watch basketball.
Yeah, I don't watch that one either, actually. But, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. is one, the son mm-hmm. of a star mm-hmm. NFL player, I'm not surprised he got more attention. Mm-hmm. Just one coming up. Like, look at that guy. Marvin Harrison, number two. Mm-hmm. We all remember what he was. Like, that's his kid. He's going to be great. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he played well in college, and that's part of the reason the hype. Mm-hmm. But he also played for Ohio State. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying LSU doesn't get a lot of attention and doesn't get hype just for being LSU. Joe Burrow came from there. Mm-hmm. But, like, I, an outsider looking in, know that Ohio State gets more attention. Mm-hmm. So,
especially in this area, obviously, too.
I kind of think in general.
Yeah.
Just across the spectrum, mm-hmm. people look at Ohio State more. Part of the reason that is the Michigan rivalry that Barstool Sports loves to talk about.
Yes.
Which also helps the publicity of a Marvin Harrison Jr. compared to a Malik Nabers. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, these things, if you just know who Marvin Harrison Jr. is and you don't know who Malik Nabers is, and you're like, well, that's the prospect, mm-hmm. Marvin Harrison Jr. Well, everyone's just going to immediately jump on that bandwagon. That's the name I know. Mm-hmm. Heck, I know his dad's name. He's got to be the guy. Mm-hmm. And I think he probably is. Like, I'll trust these scouts and all this stuff, and mm-hmm. like that he probably is maybe the number one guy coming out of the draft. Mm-hmm. But, like, the hype around him, I could see being played up just because of his name, where he played, and that stuff. Mm-hmm. Just getting the publicity from day one. Everyone knows who he is. Well, he must be the number one guy. Mm-hmm. I only just started hearing about Malik Nabers. Who the hell is that?
Yeah. The last thing I'm going to say is, when I look at these wide receivers, I think the one with the most potential to bust is Rome Odunze. Because not as fast as Malik and Marvin Harrison. Not as much of a freak athlete. Good size, though. Extremely strong. Very strong. But, you know, again, strength-wise, is he as strong as we think? Or is he just that strong because it was college and he was playing in the Pac-12? That's one of the things. And the second is, he played with the best deep ball thrower in college. He played on a completely offensive-driven team, a team that was offensively centered around throwing the football and throwing it deep. Very good O-line. And again, like Marvin, but even more so, big fish in a small pond in the Pac-12. I'm not saying Odunze is going to be a bust. I'm not saying I wouldn't take him in the top 10, because I still would. He's plenty of the intangibles. The production was there in college. He should be really good. I suggest when I look at them, you know one of them's going to bust. Well, picking wide receivers in the first round is very, very risky. It's become less risky, but it's still very risky. I think if one's going to bust, I think Odunze is the one that's going to bust. There's things here with him that I'm like, I could see it. So I know you don't watch college, so you don't have much to add to this. But
yeah. Okay.
So that's my last piece on the wide receiver draft. But anyway, with that, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to introduce a new segment on some baseball stuff, some hot teams opening out the gate. We're going to take a closer look and comb through them and see which one is for real and which ones are not. So stick with us, guys.
All right, we're back. We're going to try this new game out. The name we got is kind of like Find the Fraud right now. Mm-hmm. Subject to change, but like Find the Fraud. Mm-hmm. The rules are simple. I'm going to give you a list of suspects here, Dom.
Yes.
And you need to tell me who here is the biggest fraud from who we've seen. Who's the biggest offender mm-hmm. of being a liar? Because in April, basically half of what we see in April mm-hmm. is a total farce.
Yes.
There are good teams. There are bad teams masquerading as good teams, and there are good teams that just haven't quite figured it out yet. They mm-hmm. haven't hit the button. They haven't hit that gear. Mm-hmm. And we want to find out who really are the frauds among us. Mm-hmm. Who's lying? Mm-hmm. So, Dom, let's go with our first round here.
Yes.
I'm going to give you a couple teams, and you just need to tell me who is the biggest fraud.
Okay.
Tell me why. All right. So, our suspects today, mm-hmm. we have the New York Yankees, mm-hmm. the Kansas City Royals, and the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yes. Well, for the Yankees one, I don't think anyone thinks they're not good. It's simply, are they the juggernaut that everything has looked like? I think that's the question there, right? I'll give you this. So the alibi. You know, when you first pitched this to me, it was like as if you're going into a crime thing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go by alibi before I point out the fraud.
All right.
The Yankees have the alibi of high-end talent. I have questioned their depth, which is why I have the Orioles winning the division. But they have a good alibi. high-end talent. Cole still is going to come back, I believe, at some point this year. But the kid Gill was a real prospect, and he looks decent. So that's added to the rotation. And then adding Soto to Judge. Verdugo, I think, has helped a little bit. Credible, decent defensive outfielder and guy who actually puts the ball in play a little bit. And then maybe Volpe can take the next step, or this kid Oswaldo Cabrera can play well. So high-end talent with some other pieces mixed into it. For the Brewers, their alibi is young, legitimate prospects who could actually be major league ready right now. Jackson Churio. Bryce Terang is hitting out of his mind. And then they also, listen, they lost Burns, but Freddy Peralta has looked like one of the better pitchers in baseball for a year and a half, and he's continuing to do that now. So both of those teams have legitimate alibis, which brings me to the Kansas City Royals. Now, I did say bet the over on their win total, so I thought this team would improve. But they are not this. Okay, not quite. Go look at the lineup. Let's relax. Vinny Pasquantino, 26, 27 now. Is he really this good? I don't think so.
So cool, though.
Salvador Perez is hitting .333. He's never done that in his entire career. He's also 33 years of age. He doesn't walk either. You know, decent power, a really good offensive player for a catcher. But, you know, he's like their best hitter. That's not great, other than Bobby Witt. Bobby Witt's amazing. Throw that out. But the rotation. Cole Reagan, Seth Lugo, Brady Singer, Michael Wacha, and Alec Marsh. Cole Reagan's is great. Throw that one out. Everything else, Seth Lugo, he's fine, but he's also, again, 33. You know, there's probably some reason to think that he's going to, you know, start to decline. He also only has 14 strikeouts in 33 innings so far this year, which makes me think that you're already seeing a decline in his stuff. It just hasn't completely come back to bite him yet. Brady Singer is pitching to a 1.54 ERA. He had an ERA of 5 last year. And if you watch his stuff, it's not very good. Wacha, again, injury prone and in his 30s. And Alec Marsh is nothing to write home about. So this team is better than their their over-under win total in Vegas. I told you they'd get better. But they will not be, I think, in the playoff hunt when you look up in August. So they are the frauds here.
Oh. I want to see the Royals be good.
You're going to see them be decent. I think this is a 78-79 win team, which is only a couple of games under 500. So,
yeah.
But are they going to be in second place in the division? Are they going to be, you know, in the running to win the division and make the playoffs? I don't see it. So, All right. Jesse.
All right, that's your case.
For your round to find the fraud, we have the Guardians, who are... Mm. What are like 14-6 leading the Central? Mets, who have bounced back from a bad start, they've won. Before they lost yesterday to Glasnow, I think they had won 4 or 5 straight. They're, I think, at least 2 games over 500, maybe 3 games. Or the Cincinnati Reds, who I think 13-9 now in that crowded NL Central. So, of those three, find me the fraud.
Well, start with the Guardians. Mm-hmm. Give their little alibi, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, young, some good players there. Some, you know, we know Jose Ramirez is probably the best third baseman in baseball. Mm-hmm. I like Steven Kwan. That's a decent leadoff hitter. He gets on base. He gets on base. You know, losing Shane Bieber, that sucks. Mm-hmm. That really sucks. That's a really good guy to lose. But less so about the Guardians. Who's gonna really beat them? In their division. They have one of the worst teams maybe in history to play in the White Sox. I really don't think the Twins are going to be much of anything at this point themselves. It's another team you can kind of beat on.
Woo! Called that one.
I didn't want to use the phrase fraud, but I do think the Royals are playing too well and will fall off at least a little bit. Mm-hmm. Another team the Guardians could take advantage of. And Tigers are a bit of a mystery. I think they could be good, but if it didn't happen, would that shock me? No. So the Guardians said there's a path just set for the Guardians. Again, they seem to really like their new manager, Stephen Vogue, and why not? I actually really like catchers turning into managers. I think of all positions in any sport, one to translate into coaching, it's catching. 100%. So, like, you know, they're upstart. I don't think they're – I don't think what we're seeing is truly false.
Okay.
Is it a little over the top? Probably. But, again, they're being helped and will be helped from an god-awful division. The Mets, winner of five straight series. You know, they were a team that was like, all right, we're not – it's not this year. We're going to take a step back this year. We're going to save a little money this year. I mean, they did. But there's still, like, some players here. Pete Alonso, Francisco Lindor, extremely streaky, but his heights can be pretty high at least. You know, Brandon Nimmo, Harrison Bader. Starling Marte is playing way too well, but he can be good. He can play some decent baseball. I mean, he's 35, though, so, again, way too over the top. You know, they want Luis Severino. Jose Quintana still plays baseball.
Is Severino doing anything for them, though? Like, has he actually been good?
I don't think he's been bad.
Okay.
Actually, 2.14 ERA in 21 innings.
Okay.
That's in 21 strikeouts in those 21 innings. So he's been okay. Yeah, they got Edwin Diaz back. The fraud is the Reds.
Wow.
So okay. I don't want it to be. I want the Reds. This is one of those teams like the Pirates. Like, come on, I want to see it. But the pitching is still not there. And then Frankie Montas got pulled from a start yesterday.
Yeah.
He might be out. I don't know the situation with that one yet. And, you know, young lineup. They're usually led by their man India. He has done jack to this point. They're being led by Ellie De La Cruz, who, again, I think is just playing way too over the top. Hunter Green is not bad, but he's not really taken that step to be the guy they want to be yet. I think it's not the Reds' time yet. When I say this, do I think the Mets are not themselves really a good team? But I think being a veteran team with nothing really to lose, you know, that's not a lot of pressure on them.
Wow.
There's some pressure building at least a little bit on this young Reds team, and they're not quite handling it as well as I would like them to, other than Ellie De La Cruz, who, again, I think is just playing too well to maintain. And when he, if he starts just coming back down to earth, which we saw last year, he, you know.
Yeah, he's a streaky hitter.
He can be. You know, it's hard to call him a streaky hitter when he's only had half a season under
his
belt.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a little, but, you know, it's time for the pitches to adjust to him, and I expect them to do that. And, you know, when that happens, who's the guy to pick up that pace?
They also
You'd hope it'd be Indian. Like, he's not done a damn thing.
Well, also, they lost McClain for the year.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
Well, he was maybe their most consistent hitter last year. But, I mean, you know, there's still Spencer Steer in this lineup.
Oh, there's players here.
I'm surprised. I thought the Mets were the fraud.
They should be.
Wow.
But can you call a team a I mean, I know, like, part of this is, like, you know, we're looking at teams, probably particularly, that are playing too well for what they should be. And I think the Mets really make the case for that. But being a veteran team with, you know, players that have performed at this level throughout the team, pitching staff and lineup, I think they could at least be in the conversation come July.
Okay.
And will they probably make the playoffs? No, probably not. If they do, it'll definitely be one of those last wild card spots, like all nine of them, however many there are at this point.
Yeah.
But they will just still – I can see them being just that middle team, throwing, you know, third place in the East, riding that wave a little bit, trying to stay pace with the Phillies. The Reds have high hopes. And I don't think they're going to reach it at all, especially if the Brewers are actually legit. If the Cubs, I think they can compete for that division.
Yeah. All right.
The Reds are frauds.
Okay. Wow. Oof. Oh, that's not good for me.
Oof. I have that bet, too.
I know. I mean, I also have now thrown some money into Milwaukee, so. As long as the Cubs don't win the division, I'm golden.
Well, yeah, it's not going to be the Cardinals.
It's not going to be the Cardinals.
It's not. Who's the other one?
The Cardinals look old, dude.
Who am I missing? Brewers, Cardinals, Cubs, Reds.
Pirates.
No, that's the East.
No, the Pirates are the Central, brother.
Oh, the Pirates. No, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, they're
there. Losers of six straight.
Yeah.
Anyway, though, with that, we have done Find the Fraud. We will bring it back probably. Maybe it's a monthly thing before the All-Star.
I could, yeah. You know, end of April, end of May, and
yeah.
I think you could drag it out even past the trade deadline, being like, because you know, Angels were huge buyers last year.
Well, once we get past the trade deadline, though, it becomes time for more. What's it?
Oh, like we're in court now. We're doing our sentencing. This is the fraud.
No, I was gonna say more. Well, but we call it something. A call on the fat lady.
Oh, I guess
that's kind of, yeah. That's more call on the fat lady season.
All right, I guess.
But with that, with the teams that have had hot starts, let's go to a team that's had a disastrous start.
Yeah.
And that is the Houston Astros. Now, we've talked about 50% of what you see in April is a complete farce. Doesn't matter. But I don't know. I feel like we had issues. Not issues, but at least there were legitimate sort of concerns and questions coming into the season. But we always sort of just wrote it off as, it's the Astros. They'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. The 7-16. It's not really getting better. They've won. They're 3-7 in their last 10 games. They lost two straight. And it's the other thing is sometimes, well, you know, like when things aren't going well in baseball, right? It's usually a combination of a bunch of stuff. And that's how you kind of know. In an odd way, if three different things aren't working, I feel better about it. If consistently, then I feel better about that than when one thing is always never working. And that's the Astros situation. They score runs still. The offense is fine. It's competent. But every day, every week, it's the starting pitching getting blown up. And it's not getting better. I think they have a massive problem. I mean, are they going to look at 41-year-old Justin Verlander to be the savior? Like, I think this team's in trouble. I think this team is in legitimate trouble. So I'm going to dive deeper. We'll go into the thing. But, Jesse, I want your initial reactions here.
I mean, they're definitely in trouble.
What?
They're definitely in trouble.
Mm.
Like, you can't. This is a bad start.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, was it 17? 7-16. Yeah. Like, we can say, like, oh, April doesn't matter that much. But, like, you know, you can correct. But, like, you still dug yourself quite a hole here. And we've mentioned that, like, you know.
They have given up by far the most runs in the American League.
What's their run differential?
-29. That's awful.
Yeah.
The
-29 with an offense that isn't
that bad.
Yeah.
I mean, they've scored 96 runs, which puts them, you know, like on the higher end here of the American League. But the next worst is the White Sox, who have given up 116 runs to the 124 of Houston's. So they've outweighed.
Yeah.
The only one in baseball who's given up more runs is the Rockies, which that's Coors Field. So,
yeah. Well, yeah. And they're also pretty just damn bad.
Yeah, they're that too. But continue anyway.
Well, and we've also mentioned, though, that like of all teams that would just not sit there and take this,
mm-hmm.
it's the Astros. And they're like, I expect them to do something.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, I mean, you know, if our offense is still this good.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go buy a couple pitchers. Let's go buy a pitcher or two. But, like, even more, like you know, if you look at their 40-man roster,
mm-hmm.
they have a good pitching staff. Like, yeah.
Okay.
Framber Valdez is not pitching right now.
Yes, he's hurt.
Lance McCullers Jr. is not pitching right now.
Is Lance McCullers that good anymore?
I mean, coming off, like, how long has he not played for?
It's been a while.
So, like, I would at least expect rust on his game, but we know he can be a he can be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And he's only 30.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the injury, you know, I'm sure that'll do something to him. But, like, Christian Javier is not pitching. Not great.
No.
He's all right. Luis Garcia is not pitching.
Mm-hmm.
He's all right. Like, they need to get healthy.
Yeah.
I don't know the timetable of most of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Hunter Brown do a thing or two.
Kendall Graveman is also hurt. He's been a pretty solid reliever for, you know, a while now, most of his career.
Like, there is, like, I'm looking at the, like, the yeah, like, there is, there are people here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think you should wait around to get healthy
mm-hmm.
if you really want to think you can compete here. And I think they can.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I don't know the timetable for, like, any of these guys right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I think they're in trouble. And if they don't do something soon, and if they, you know, because I don't, you can't wait around for these guys. Yeah, but the hole might be.
Well, that's what I was about to say. Like, you say, you know, when you look at all the guys that are not available right now with a decent staff, but that doesn't matter if they can't tread water long enough for when they're healthy. And right now, it doesn't look like they're able to tread water.
Because, you know, the Rangers are going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
The story on the Mariners for the past few years has been, well, they suck in April, but, like, they should find their game, right? And they should get a little bit better, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't expect them to be terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So there, some distance might be put between them. I mean, even, like, the Athletics are not the slam dunk win that you can, like, use to catch up and close the gap that they were last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I agree. I listen, I think this team's in real trouble, you know. For me to tell you to, you know, like, go place money on them in the midst of the playoffs or anything like that, I'd have to do a deep dive on how long everybody's projected to be out. But unless these guys are all on the same timeline and it ain't that far away, I have serious questions if this team can tread water long enough, because I don't see it right now, especially after Frambar went down. Like, this pitching staff is awful. And the other thing is, too, they have a bullpen issue. Hader's been terrible. Now, you expect him to get better. But the other part is they still rely on Ryan Pressly a good amount. They rely on Pressly to get to Hader. Pressly was bad at the end of last year, and he's been bad again this year, and he's 35. And it's not just he's bad. You can noticeably see the drop in velocity and the drop in stuff. Mm-hmm. So their big setup, man, looks like he's past it. They have just problems all throughout this pitching staff. And I have serious questions, Marks, if this team can tread water long enough. Now, they got Verlander back. Maybe Justin writes the ship enough for them to pick up wins there. They need Frambar back. I don't know how. Did you see his injury?
No.
I don't know how serious it is. He's still just 15-day DL. I haven't heard anything about surgery, so I'm sure he'll be back soon. But, you know, they're going to have to hope that he's back and hits the ground running right away. So if Frambar can hit the ground running right away when he comes back, and Verlander at 42 is still good, you know, if those two get going, maybe they can survive this. But that's their only way.
Yeah, but if Justin Verlander's even, like, fine, like, he's good for the time, like, at 42, like, I don't. Like, it's almost like I'm going to bet, like, he'll fall off.
Oh, yeah, no, I know.
He will lose velocity. He will not be as good in September.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if he's the guy you're going to ride for at least the meantime, that's a... Not that I think he can't handle the pressure.
Yeah.
He's fine mentally for the pressure.
That's the innings.
The physical arm, how will that...
Yeah, I know. No,
because when you're afraid, like, can we drag one more inning out of him so we don't have to use Pressly today?
I do think we're approaching a point where you could say that the division is lost.
Maybe.
Soon. Yeah. I mean, the Rangers, we're talking about treading water. The Rangers are not healthy at all right now. But they're 12-11.
Yeah.
They're treading water just fine. They're at least over 500.
Yeah.
Like, Houston doesn't turn this around soon. Give it another week or two. I could at least be like, listen, the division might be lost. Like, they can still make the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're catching Texas.
I don't know.
So, serious issues. You can throw out a lot of things in April. There are some teams that have started slow I don't care about. I care a lot about this one. And I'll have my eye on it for the next couple of weeks, because if it doesn't turn around soon, it's panic time. All right. Celtics and Bruins. They're both in the playoffs. Jesse, I'm going to lean on you for the Bruins playoffs for sure.
That's fine.
Let's quickly talk the Celtics. You know, they did a good job. The Miami Heat have been our bugaboo. So I'm always concerned when we play them, although Jimmy Butler wasn't playing. So, but, you know, they dominated them in the first game, first round, 114-94. Boston looks like the best team. The Bucks have not played as well, I think, to end the season. They really fell off. They weren't actually an underdog in their matchup with the Pacers to open their series. Not by much. They're like +2, but still. So, like, Celtics look like they should be head and shoulders the best team in the East. Are you buying it yet? Because I don't believe in them still. They still play bad in fourth quarters. They still become super ISO ball in fourth quarters.
If you don't sweep them, then I'm like, all right, you're not going to win. If they sweep, I'll be like, all right, that's what you needed to do. That convinced me that you are at least somewhat of what you are.
Because
if you don't sweep with no Jimmy Butler, that's kind of ridiculous. You don't even have to cover, because I think the spread was like 14 points.
Yeah.
You don't have to cover all that every game, especially if it's that big. But if you get the sweep, okay. I'll start buying in a little bit to what you're what you're putting down here. But like, you can't lose a game here. I'm just like, I don't care. Because you will win this series. Mm-hmm. It's fine. It's basically a practice. Get in those practice rounds, get in those practice shots, or whatever. But you can't lose a game here. That'd be ridiculous.
All right.
Like, who's here? Bam Adebayo?
Tyler Hero?
Oh, I forgot that guy.
No, I know. There's no excuse. They should. Yeah. If they're supposed to be the juggernaut, and they're coming out of the East, and they have a chance to beat the Nuggets, or whoever makes it out of the Western Conference, though I think we all think it's going to be the Nuggets, then they shouldn't. You're right. They should sweep the series.
You better.
But they, even when they were playing well in the regular season, they would still bomb in fourth quarters a lot if the game was close.
Especially against the Hawks.
I've seen
kind of don't want to play the Hawks.
Tatum continues to be a no-show sometimes in big spots. Jaylen Brown turns the ball over still too much. They get, again, they don't play team basketball late. They try and individually iso ball Hero too much. I've seen them, this core, choke too many times in the playoffs. I just don't buy it. I don't know who it's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be the Bucks we lose to, but I don't buy it still. Everybody else, everyone here thinks it's a foregone conclusion that we will be in the championship. And when you watch the games and look at the record, it's hard to blame them. But I've seen this charade too many times.
Let me quickly look up who's in the playoffs for the NBA.
The Sixers lost their first game.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. Like, why are we not already in the finals? Why do we have to play this? Wait, what? Did Atlanta make it?
I think they lost in the
There's literally no one who's going to beat us.
Oh, see, you sound like all of them now. Milwaukee?
On the way to the finals.
No, I know.
No, that's what's his face. Who's that coach right now? Doc Rivers.
Oh, yeah.
They don't like even like each other, it seems. I know, like, they were happy to get rid of their last coach, the Bucks.
Yeah.
So they were dancing on the court. But, like, Doc Rivers doesn't seem to like them.
Let's see. The Sixers, the Knicks, the Cavs.
Yeah, right. The Knicks, I guess. Maybe they didn't they have tough.
Yeah.
Don't like. Isn't that like a matchup kind of issue?
Yeah.
The Knicks.
Yeah.
Although, Knicks fans did chant, "We want Boston." So like. We already won. That's how this works.
I mean, we won 14 more games than them in the regular season.
No, but I'm saying like head-to-head.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It didn't go.
It is crazy. So the Celtics won 64 games.
Yeah.
In the East, the next best is the Knicks with 50 wins.
Yes.
The Bucks won 49. The Cavs won 48. The Magic won 47. So like,
well,
it's hard for me to sit here and be like, oh, they're not going to make the conference
team. Has 57 wins. That's still 7 less wins.
I know.
That's a gap.
I know.
Yeah, 14 games back.
Listen, if this is the year, if this year they don't make the conference, they don't make the championship at least.
Oh, you have to.
Then can we just write this core off for good?
And what I'm looking at here, like, you kind of should. Especially because, like, the Hawks were, like, that team that they would really actually, for some reason, just constantly blow the fourth quarter lead against. I remember that. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit of baseball, about basketball I actually paid attention to this year. So, like, I don't care about Cleveland. I don't care about where the hell's in Indiana? Mm. The Magic? No. All right, maybe if it is actually true that the matchup problem is not great for the Knicks. But they already chanted, "We want Boston." That's over. We won. Maybe Doc Rivers in the box.
That's the only one.
Assuming they even don't kill each other themselves first.
That is the only one.
And then we'll lose in the finals.
To the Nuggets, probably.
Yeah, probably.
But I mean, again, if they don't make the championship this year, I think you can write this core off.
Yeah,
as far as they're ever going to win one.
Maybe.
Maybe. You had 14 more games than the next best team in the East, and you couldn't make the championship at least. That's bad.
Yeah, that would be bad.
It'd be hard to come back from that, in my opinion. But But whatever. So, Bruins playoffs.
Yeah.
Took care of business right away.
All
right.
I think Bruins fans are overreacting a bit.
What are you talking about? I watched every piece of that game. They're winning the Stanley Cup.
Well, one, William Nylander didn't play for the Leafs. And he didn't take rushes this morning with the Leafs. So I don't think he's playing again tonight. Mm. But also, like, a couple things happened differently. That is a different game. It was 1-0 in the second period, and Austin Matthews had a wide open net, and he hit the post because Swayman wasn't in the net. That he hits that as 1-1. You have a different game because after that, it was all. That's when the Bruins started to steamroll. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if a couple things change, a couple bounces happen differently in the beginning, things could change. Mm-hmm. You could also make the other side that the Bruins hit two posts in the first like 10 minutes, so it could have been worse. But you know, so goes the post. And I also kind of think the Leafs beat themselves more than the Bruins won that game. But I'm also going to give the Bruins the credit of they were smart enough to see what was going on and allowed the Leafs to do that to themselves. Because the Leafs were constantly – they have no idea how to play physical hockey. They want to, don't have the slightest clue how to do it. They don't know when to hit. They don't know who to hit. They literally – the first goal of the game for the Bruins happened because Ryan Reeves hit a player – that then got pushed into his own defenseman, creating an odd man rush, which the Bruins scored on. That's dumb. Those are not really things that you can count on. But I guess when you have just no clue how to play physical hockey, but you know you're supposed to in the playoffs, these things are going to happen. That's what I mean. Like, the Bruins just kind of let them do it. Oh, you want to throw a hit at me in a situation that really doesn't make sense? Go for it. I'm just going to drop the puck to my guy, and he'll just skate it over there. But also, I want to point out my guy. Playoff Jake DeBrusk. He's, you know, he can get his crap in the regular season. I get it. He's a little streaky player. But I kind of like, I feel like I understand why now. Why is he the guy in the playoffs and not really in the regular season? Similar, I guess, to maybe to playoff Krejci. Although no one reaches the height of playoff Krejci. That's a different animal. Jake DeBrusk is a player, he plays totally with his emotions. And I mean that in a good way. Mm-hmm. If he's feeling the game, if he's feeling himself in the game emotionally, he thrives off that. Mm-hmm. When he's not feeling the correct emotions, he doesn't produce. Mm-hmm. And you know, being in the playoffs, you feel those emotions. The playoffs is a different game in hockey. You can say that for any sport, but hockey is especially true. There are situations in hockey where regular season you will pass up a hit that you just will not pass up in the playoffs, just because, you know, your series, you kind of get in their head in a little bit, like the Panthers last year. You hit them to get in their head, and so like later on, games down the line, they think twice about what they do. Mm-hmm. Jake DeBrusk isn't a hitter, but in the playoffs, you know, everyone just hits more. Everyone hits more. Mm-hmm. He that's the game he should really be playing. Mm-hmm. He doesn't hit well. He doesn't hit hard. But when he does, he has more fun. When he has more fun, he moves more. When he moves more, he plays better. He scores. He gets points. That's his game when he has fun. And it was a play like, puck goes around the net. Guy, defenseman throws it more. Again, regular season, you pass it up. You go chase the puck. Mm-hmm. Playoffs, he did not. He went around the net, around the goalie, and then went out of his way to hit him. Not a penalty. The player played the puck. You can hit him. Mm-hmm. But again, in regular season, you're going to go chase him. Mm-hmm. But he went for the hit. Mm-hmm. And he thrives off that. Mm-hmm. He thrives off the emotion of that. The intensity of it. It's built for players like that. Okay. He's built for that intensity.
Right now, if they beat the Leafs, who do they get next? Likely, in all likelihood,
probably the Panthers.
That's a problem, isn't it?
It could be. Actually, so from all the games we played so far, two series haven't started yet, which is stupid. There's two games, once tonight. Out of every other series, other than Predators losing last night to Vancouver, I was correct about every game won so far.
Oh, really?
In terms of, like, predicting who the winner is, they all won game one, except the Predators. But they could have. Mm. 2 goals in 12 seconds. You don't give up 2 goals in 12 seconds. Predators win that game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I got you. All right.
So it's probably going to be the
Panthers. Next question. Next segment. Jesse, one of your favorite topics, because it is a comical topic to talk about.
No, it's a sad day.
Is it, though?
I wanted it to work. It's not, again, another. I wanted it to work.
Oh, okay.
For many reasons. Let's give you a timeline of events. The Coyotes. I still hope they keep the name. We'll get to that in a second, though.
I hope so, too.
Here's a I'll give you the timeline of events of how we ended up here on this day. Back in 1996. the Winnipeg Jets moved to Phoenix and became the Phoenix Coyotes. And now here we are, 28 years later. They're moving again to Salt Lake City, Utah. So, and it would be really funny if the Winnipeg Jets, now that they have a team again, can go on a good playoff run. I think they could. Anyway, you know, the Coyotes, when they first went there, they weren't a bad team. They were just kind of mediocre, you know, being a relocation team and not an expansion team. You at least had somewhat of a team to build off of. But yeah, mediocre, never really caught the hearts and minds of the Phoenix people. So then in 2014, you become the Arizona Coyotes, trying to expand the market, get the rest of Arizona. But by then, the team was garbage. And then the ownership was basically terrible. They soured their relationships with the fans at that point. So at that point, it was kind of, man, a very uphill battle. Then, you know, the controversies start to pile up. They lost a first-round pick from illegal, basically illegal scouting and illegal workouts with, you know, prospects and stuff like that. There was the Mitchell Miller controversy. There was, you know, I guess finally getting kicked out of your home building in 2022 because you couldn't pay the bill anymore. And you had to then move to Mullett Arena in Tempe, Arizona, on the campus of Arizona State University. So, I mean, at that point, it was really...
The writing was on the wall.
Pretty much. But there was one last Hail Mary. Or I guess you could say two last Hail Marys. The nail in the coffin was when Alex Maruello, he convinced the city of Tempe to, like, all right, at least, like, put it to a vote. Let's vote on if we get a stadium. And the people of Tempe voted. They voted to use that land for a landfill. They didn't want a stadium. They didn't want anything to do with them. We want a landfill. They're getting a landfill. And basically the final Hail Mary actually was, you know, the NFL was like, at that point was like, maybe you should sell the team. Like, you know, you could still be, we'll look for you for expansion, but you should probably sell the team. Alex Moore was like, no, I have one last idea, which the NHL basically said no to because they didn't even get to do it to a degree. In June, there was going to be a auction for land. He was going to be like, I'll buy the land. And then we will then convince Phoenix again to build a stadium on said land, right? Perfect plan. What could go wrong? He was going to have to buy it himself, starting bid of $70 million. I have hard-pressed to think he's going to be able to pay that, considering just this past year, he wasn't able to pay the bill for a hotel in Toronto. But he's going to pay at least, again, starting bid is $70 million for the land. Basically, the NHL stepped in and said, like, no. You can do that on your own time, and if you win that, you get the expansion team. If you build one, you can get an expansion team. In the meantime, your team is going to the Utah Jazz owners. And, all right, that's been the saga of the Arizona Coyotes.
Wait, did he sell them to the Utah Jazz owners?
He was forced to.
Okay.
It was kind of given to them.
What did they pay?
I don't know the exact number.
They paid something, though,
it's
right?
Not a very lot. It's not.
Really?
It's kind of like, it literally was like, you are giving this team to them. You will get some money. Maybe you can use some of that money for that auction. But, like, this is good. This is good. This didn't need to happen. One, because Alex Maruello is a terrible owner.
Well, I was going to say, why the hell would the league give him a new team after what he just did with Arizona?
They greased him up to make him give the team away.
Okay.
There's no chance. The condition is, like, if you get the land, you build the stadium, you get first dibs on an expansion team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he'll win the auction. He then will, again, has to convince Phoenix, I have no team. But if I build one, a team will come. I don't think Phoenix is going to take that. I don't think Phoenix is buying that.
No.
And again, then there's a couple other contingencies. He has to pay back some bills. He has to, again, you have to pay back the bills and then win an auction. Anyway, he's not getting a new team. It's not going to happen.
Okay.
But, like, you know, what is it going to become of the Coyotes? To be honest, I think it could work out.
I think
the Jazz owners, like, just the ownership, like, never heard a bad thing about anything going on front office wise for the Utah Jazz.
No.
They don't really bring a lot of headlines in general. So hearing nothing bad, I guess that's can only be a good thing, right? Also, the team itself, there's actually a decent amount of prospects here that could work out. They have a lot of draft picks in the coming years, and they did take that step forward that they've been trying to take for years at this point. The future is somewhat bright for many reasons, including the fact that Alex Maruello is not involved in this team anymore. And, again, Arizona will be looked at for expansion in the future, no matter what, at this point, because they don't have a team anymore. Phoenix will be looked at, again, for an expansion. Atlanta's looked at as one. And, again, they want the South. They want the South. And it's slowly we're getting there.
Atlanta would make far more sense than Phoenix.
Well, they were 0-2. Atlanta is.
Okay.
But I also will say, like, imagine you are in Arizona. And a couple of the, you know, they had a sellout for their very final game. The people showed up. This is the last time we get to see this. We'll show up for it. They had a sellout. Imagine if in 2 to 3 years, the Coyotes, whatever they're going to be called, is good, competing in the playoffs, competing for cups. How are you not, as least an Arizona fan, outside looking and be like, that was supposed to be ours. That was supposed to be our success. We just missed out on because of this douchebag owner, Alex Maruello. I want another shot. Not with him, but I want another shot at that.
Yeah.
Because we just missed that.
I gotcha.
And again, the NHL really wants to take over the South. It's we're getting there, I guess. You could say that.
I mean, Arizona's not the South, but yeah.
Well, you know, the warm climates.
the West Coast.
Well, here's the thing. If they want to take over the dying NBA market, if they want to, like, jump on that and take those fans, they need to embrace the warm climates more. And they need to take the desert. And it's, you know, Vegas has done okay. Florida is actually starting to...
Well, listen, if you're talking about taking NBA fans, Phoenix is a great location for that because right now the Suns have been a flop.
Kind of, yeah.
With all the hype.
Yeah.
And I mean, KD, we have to make this a topic at some point. Is KD just proven that he's a loser?
Kind of. A little bit. If he's not on the Golden State Warriors, a little bit.
Yeah.
But also, like, you know, the Cardinals have been bad for a little while now. Who knows if they'll really pull themselves out of it. The Diamondbacks are in a phase where they could be good for a while, but, like, you know, being in a division where you're with the Dodgers, you might just get the short end of the stick every year because of who you have to go through to get that ultimate prize. Hockey could work there. And again, Florida is starting to really work out with two teams. I mean, no one has a problem with what goes on in California with all their teams. Dallas is starting to be embraced. Dallas is starting to embrace so much that one of the expansion places they're looking at is Houston. You know, Nashville, St. Louis, Carolina is all getting more and more popular. They're not there yet, but it's getting there.
Yeah.
But also, like, one last thing. Keep the name. The Utah Yotes sounds so good.
That would be great.
I love.
What if they change the name that no one says Coyotes anymore? What if they call themselves the Utah Yotes?
Just do Yotes to shorten it to Yotes?
Yeah.
I think I'd be fine with that. I would kind of call them the Yotes anyway. So the Utah Yotes would just kind of probably be a thing. But, like, I want at least, I mean, I want to keep the uniform.
Yeah, they are.
I love those uniforms. I know you aren't the biggest fan because they are bizarre, but that's part of the reason why I like them so much.
I don't mind the uniforms themselves. I just hate that they changed the logo. The Howling Coyote was great.
I actually, to be honest, I like all their logos. I like all their color schemes. I like all their uniforms. Yeah. I don't think they ever missed with that. But, like, you can keep the name when you relocate. I know it's not common, especially in hockey, but, like, the Calgary Flames used to be the Atlanta Flames. The Athletics were the Philadelphia Athletics, and then the Kansas City Athletics and then the Oakland Athletics and soon to be the Las Vegas Athletics.
It just works, though.
And it's like...
It just works.
Coyotes...
It works. Utah's still desert.
It is.
Utah's the Las Coyotes.
Exactly.
And the Utah Yotes. That's just great.
And I don't want to wait 15 years to get the Coyotes back and get those uniforms back. And we might not get those uniforms back. The Winnipeg Jets uniforms are not the same as the old ones. Thank God for that, though.
Well, I'll be honest with you. They're probably not going to keep the color scheme.
Probably not.
They were very Arizona, like the Sedona Desert kind of color scheme.
Yes,
it's not going to be the same color.
The tribal, I guess, looking ones, not the red ones, but the Howling Wolf.
Yeah,
they were very much meant to be, you know, play on the indigenous tribes of Arizona specifically.
Yeah,
not necessarily Utah.
Yeah, no.
But
so
if you did the Howling Wolf one, I mean, that could work anywhere for a Coyote team.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about the logo. I'm talking about the color is going to change.
Well, if you do the Howling Wolf with the red and the... Oh, I guess...
You could do it with blue and white.
That's stupid.
It's going to become blue. It's going to be a purple or a blue. I guarantee it.
All right, just change the name. The Mormons. I don't know. Well, we always have a segment when teams move and change. They're like, what's a good team name for this?
Yeah.
We could have one of those segments.
We could, but except I don't think we can find anything that's better than the Utah Yotes.
That's not the point.
That's so good.
But, like, we can do things that are like, it is, but they're not going to do it. So we could find an actual somewhat decent alternative.
Whatever.
Or a couple silly ones. Like
we'll
the
get
Utah
there.
Mormons.
We'll get there.
The Utah Mitt Romneys. Or...
Yeah, listen, we're going to get there again. Don't worry. All right. With that, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, I'm going to talk Bill Belichick. He's going to be doing the draft with Pat McAfee. I'm going to talk about why I think that's a bigger deal than everyone's going to realize. And then we'll finish with our Darwin. Stick with us. And we're back getting ready to finish it up. I want to talk Belichick. He was on with Pat McAfee recently. They were going over the draft. I believe, is Pat doing it for ESPN? Or is Pat doing it just completely for his own show, streaming on YouTube? He's going to be on the draft.
Oh, that's a good question.
I don't know either way.
I think, well, I assume ESPN is going to at least help with the production. And maybe they're like, this is our ESPN YouTube coverage. And then we'll have our own ESPN normal
cable
coverage that we always have. Yeah.
Okay, maybe. I don't know. But I know that Bill was there for that interview. It was great. You know, people, he gets this sort of, you know, he's a old curmudgeon. He's got no personality. When Bill actually doesn't have a football team and he's not getting asked questions that he doesn't want to answer from the media about said football team, he has a personality. He's a funny guy. And he was good on the Pat McAfee interview. So I think... with him doing this show with Pat McAfee, who was young, energetic, funny. It's a different brand of sports media. I don't love Pat. He annoys the crap out of me sometimes. But it's a great opportunity for Bill, I think, to project to the rest of the league because he's gotten this reputation as just this out-of-touch, old curmudgeon, like just a negative guy. You don't want him in the building. It's a chance for him to rebrand himself.
As a real human being?
As a normal human being. With a real personality and a sense of humor. And I think there's absolutely still a market for Bill. You know, don't ask me why Jones didn't want to move on from McCarthy. Jerry takes a long time to do anything. I understand why the Eagles in the end didn't fire Nick Sirianni. He had just made the Super Bowl the year before. But I think at least one of those two jobs is going to be available next year. Between the Phillies are an impatient franchise. They have spent a lot of money on a bunch of key players, particularly on offense. And so there is no room for failure for them. They believe that they are a Super Bowl contending team. They have spent money as if they're a Super Bowl contending team. They can't move off those players now, so it has to work. If Sirianni has another off year, he will be gone. Mike McCarthy, I think, comes into this year with zero power. I think he's a dead coach walking. I thought it was embarrassing what happened to him in the playoffs. I can't believe he's still here. But I think Dallas could be a disaster. They're too top-heavy again. All it takes is an injury to Parsons, Dak, or Lamb, and they're not as good a football team. Right now, if you were to give me a $100 bet, I would give you plus 600 odds that the Cowboys and the Eagles both make the playoffs. So all takers, if you both think they're going to make the playoffs, give me $100. If you're right, I will give you $600. There is not a six new teams make the NFL playoffs and six teams don't. There is no way that both the Eagles and Cowboys season was as bad as it ended last year that both those teams are making the playoffs. I don't buy it for a second. And they're both places that if they don't make the playoffs and they don't succeed, the coach will be gone. And there's what are the Eagles going to do? Really? They already had the young upstart, high-energy Nick Sirianni, and apart from when he had the best OC, who's turned into a very good head coach for the Colts, he kind of did nothing. Like, Howie Roseman is not going to be okay with mediocrity. Why would you not go to the guy with the experience, who's won multiple Super Bowls, and you'd be like, bro, maybe you're not good at offense, but you're going to inherit Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, Saquon Barkley, and Jalen Hurts. Like, we'll take care of that side of the ball. Coach up the defense. It's an aging defense that's going to lose people too. So, and the Cowboys, I mean, you give them Micah Parsons. It's the Dallas Cowboys. It's the star. Jerry loves a good story. Jerry also, you know, he seems to like older coaches. more within his generation. Bill is certainly that. And again, Jerry loves a good headline. It'd be a massive headline. The Dallas Cowboys hire Bill Belichick to be the next head coach. Like, I think it's a win-win from every perspective for Jerry Jones. So I think there's a great opportunity for Bill to rebrand himself, show to the rest of the league. He has a personality. He can be entertaining. He's still sharp. And, yeah, I truly believe by next season, not this football season, the next one after,
yeah,
he will be the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles or the Dallas Cowboys. I really believe that.
I'd rather he be the coach of the Cowboys than the Eagles.
I would too.
I've actually grown to hate the Eagles more than the Cowboys.
I know. It just works.
Bill
in Dallas with Jerry, the star, Micah Parsons.
It's a historical team.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I mean, I could.
He's a football history junkie.
Yeah. And actually, I mean, do you almost think the Dynasty documentary worked out better for Bill?
It could in the end, actually, yes.
Because so many people have come out and said, wow, especially like former players, wow, that was really unfair to Bill. And a lot of these players are like going on
the league,
this
even
tour.
Too. NFL films.
Yeah. But specifically, I think it's good for like the players that used to play under him and be like, wow, like, no. Like, he was
a savant.
But he was also personal to us.
Yeah.
He was also, there were times where he wouldn't always be our coach.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't acting like a dad to us all the time. Mm-hmm. There were times where he was our buddy. Mm-hmm. And like this tour, it seems, of like Ty Law went on Julian Edelman's podcast to, you know, talk about Bill. Rodney Harrison, McCourty came out and all this stuff about Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, to go on Pat Mack. I was like so giddy watching him on that because like his answers were so, like, you know, you can, especially as a coach, like, I guarantee there's so much jargon and, you know, in sports that, like, an outsider looking in, if you are not involved in, like, at least somewhat higher level, that they could really talk to you in another language, and you have no idea what they're saying. Mm-hmm. I probably think that in football,
mm-hmm.
especially with, like, coverages and route running and stuff like that, just mm-hmm. the phrase they got going on. Bill, on Pat Mack, I understood everything he said, every little thing he said, but it's also sounded so incredibly intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
He talks it in a way that, like, you will understand and know exactly what he means, where he's getting at, where he's going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's brilliant.
Mm.
And I think, yeah, like, that's what a way to clean up your image. And to, one, hang out with the young, cool media guys,
mm-hmm.
not the ones with the stick up their asses.
Mm.
And doing it like they were asking great questions, mm-hmm. giving him great things to answer, giving him good things to go on tangents about. That really showed Bill Belichick, the person and the coach, all in one, in ways we haven't really seen. And only got to see that time he did, like, the college game day thing with the Army-Navy, and he put the helmet on for, like, 9 minutes.
And, by the way, I think there's going to be more of that in this season.
Because
he's not coaching this season.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure Pat Mack's going to ask him on all the time.
I bet.
Ask his opinion on things
all
the time.
I bet he'll do another college game day.
Oh, 100%. Mm-hmm. I'm sure. And I bet as it goes on, and, like, you'll probably see, I guarantee you'll get bumps in popularity for, like, the shows where Bill's on for the Pat Mack and the ones he's not on.
Mm-hmm.
The college game day will probably get more views the one he's on than the one he's not. And then more people will then reach out. We want you. Can we do an interview for this? We need you for this, Bill. Like, Bill, please, like, come on. Do an interview for this. And then we see more and more of Bill Belichick, more and more of the personality. And I was like, all right. One, this guy's clearly still got it.
Mm-hmm.
This guy has not lost a bit of wit in terms of football knowledge and how to put a team together and all that stuff. Or how to at least coach the team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they made jokes on Pat McAfee about how, like, Bill can't draft.
No, I know they did.
And he sat there with a smile on his face and talked about it. It wasn't offended. None of that crap.
No, I know.
You're telling me that guy can't have fun.
I know.
Get out of here.
You know what I expect? You know where I expect him to pop up? I think he's going to be at Bama at some point. Not coaching. like he's going to be there for a practice.
Yeah.
He's going to be there for a speech thing because he's friends with Nick. You know, Nick's not there anymore, but Nick is going to be invested in trying to make sure that Kalen DeBoer and Bama is still prosperous without him. And he's got all that free time. And he'll be down in Florida golfing a lot anyway. It's not as far away anymore from New England to Florida to Bama. It's not as far as New England to Bama. So I wouldn't be shocked if he popped up at Alabama at some point. There is a team that he talked to, I think, last year, and I don't remember who it was. But it was someone who then later said, like, he felt embarrassed after Bill talked.
Oh, Matt Rhule.
Matt Rhule, thank you.
Yeah, Matt Rhule just said that.
Yeah. Matt Rhule just said that. So he's been doing that kind of stuff, too. Always helps the brand. So I think Bill's going to be on a complete sort of rebranding and tour. But in only a tour way that Bill could do it.
Yeah.
Quietly, only about the football. The only big media stuff would be like on a Pat McAfee show and then College Game Day. But yeah, so I thought it was a win-win. Yeah, I'm going to be busy the night of the draft, unfortunately, which is so disappointing to me. But I would have loved to. I might just go back and watch it just to see Bill on the thing. So, all right, with that, we're finishing up. Drum roll, please, for our Darwin Award. This week's Darwin Award winner is Jontay Porter. I mean, come on. So obvious. Dude, you were betting on your own games?
Yeah, if you heard the name, you knew it.
You were playing on player props? Wasn't he betting on his own props?
Yes. Well, he was also feeding information to, like, help them with their lines and stuff. It's like,
what, you think you were not going to get caught? That's stupid. Also, you were going to risk that for the best gig in all of sports? Bro, you get paid millions of dollars, and you can only show up 3 days a week if you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can just take massive games off for no reason.
Yeah.
So, it's fucking stupid. I know. I did just do that, and I don't care. This is an all-timer.
Yeah. We've had several people that have been suspended for gambling. It didn't ever seem to go this deep.
Well, they weren't usually betting on their own sports or their own games.
Or it also...
He was betting on his own damn props.
And feeding information.
And he was feeding information to other people.
Like, this guy's probably not going to play...
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Like,
that's it's not like he made his own account or was having his cousin bet for him. He's feeding multiple people information.
Yeah.
The bigger the operation gates, the more likely you're going to get caught.
Yeah.
Like, you think you just weren't going to get caught, dude?
Yeah. And I assume he got some money for that information.
No, duh.
But not to the money you're going to make if you continue to be an NBA basketball player.
I know. It's so.
At least I hope not.
The other thing is, like, you know, a lot of these players, when they're done, they still do things with the league, right?
Yeah.
He can't do anything.
Analysts, coaches.
What is he going to do?
Office. I guess go to the gambling part of the sports world.
Is he going to coach a high school team?
Maybe he could.
Will he even be able to?
Get a job at DraftKings. Like, give your basketball analyst analysis. This is how you should bet.
Like, what is he going to do? There's not even a lot we can talk about here. This is a quick Darwin, but it's an all-timer.
Well, it's also because, like, we've had similar ones before, and it's like, you're an idiot. This isn't a new new revelation. These guys are still dumb that do this.
So dumb for so many reasons. Like I said, what do you do
it's
now
almost
that your
even worse
over?
Now that, like, players are getting caught. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't seem to be getting away with this. I'm sure, like, these players know, this guy's not getting caught. That guy's not getting caught. I'm sure there is plenty still out there that haven't gotten caught.
I don't think there's that many. There's a famous story that Shaq told once where he, obviously this was years ago, but still, he was sitting down. He was in Vegas and he was having a good time. Shaq was a little bit of a partier. He was sitting down and he sits down at this poker table next to this guy. He starts playing. And the guy looks at him and he goes, I know who you are. I'm telling you for your own benefit. You shouldn't be sitting next to me. And Shaq's like, why? He's like, I'm a massive, like, well-known, huge, wise guy in Vegas on betting sports. He's like, don't sit next to me. Like, you could. And Shaq is like, I don't care. Then you have a few drinks, and they keep talking. And he goes, Shaq goes, you ever buy a player? And he goes, nah, you guys make too much money. But we can buy the refs. So, like, the players make too much money for this. They really do. Like, you just have to be stupid.
But yet they're still doing it.
Not that. They're not doing it like Jontay. All these guys that are getting caught for gambling, they're not betting on their own sport. Almost all of them have not been betting on their own sport. Because they know that if they do, this can happen.
But
to them. They get a lifetime ban.
The point is still there of, like, why do you need to gamble for a couple $1,000s?
Because it's fun.
I guess.
And some of them are young. Some of them probably don't even realize that they're not allowed to do it. They're like, it's not my sport. Well, I don't play this game.
I can see some of them, like, while they're in college.
Yeah.
Being like, well, what's the big deal? Mm-hmm. Like, who was Booty?
Yeah.
Like, he got Darwin'd.
Yeah.
And, like, it got really, but, like, at least while he was in college, like, some of it was probably at least not that bad at first. Uh-huh. It seemed to have really got out of hand.
Yeah.
But, man. Stupid. Again, like, look around, see what's going on. You know, maybe he was doing this for at least a decent amount of time. Mm-hmm. And maybe, like, he did see the writing on the wall and tried to get out. And that's when they're like, you can't get out now. You feed us all this information. Like, yeah. We're just going to tell on you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like a mob thing.
Yes.
Like, you can't get out. You're already in.
Yeah.
But don't get in the first place. You're an idiot. Because, like I said, best gig in the world. I can get paid millions of dollars and decide 3 days, three times a week. I just don't want to work.
Yeah, I wear a tank top and shorts to my job. Throw a ball in a basket. And I only have to do that. One, I only do it every other day
at most. Football is a physical battle. Like, guys are dying at the end of the year. Like, I'm not even the same person by the end. Baseball is just a grind every single day. Like, the NBA, like I said, you can just be like, I don't feel like working today. Stupid. So, congratulations to Jonte Porter. For the lifetime ban from the NBA. That has been it for Slow Your Roll this week. Looking forward to the draft. We'll see what happens. Do we have a new quarterback, Jesse, or do they trade down?
Probably a new quarterback.
I think so, too. All right. Have a great day. Have a great rest of your week, ladies and gentlemen.